Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, October 11th, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Anne Stevenson, A Neglected Master. Last week, the Poetry Foundation announced that Anne Stevenson was the winner of the Neglected Masters Award, only the second one ever given out. The idea of the award is to bring attention to the work of a significant yet under-recognized American poet. The prize is $50,000, and next spring, the Library of America will publish a volume of her selected poems. At the awards ceremony in Chicago, Anne Stevenson wondered if the award should be renamed.
You call it the Neglected Masters Award. I don't suppose you would think of calling it the Neglected Mistresses Award. No, I don't think that would be quite appropriate. And there's yet another ambiguity, that having received this very prestigious award, I no longer feel I'm neglected.
You can probably hear the English in Anne Stevenson's accent. She was born to American parents in England. Since 1962, she has lived there and in North Wales. Welsh poetry, she says, has been fundamental to her own work from the very start. In the early 1940s, when she was in the 10th grade, she wrote a poem with a line that was the first she recognized as real poetry.
And mists among the rushes of the marsh. And that line filled me with delight for reasons I did not know, but which I now recognize as being a perfect line of Welsh conghanath. You know, the Welsh tradition of weighing the vowel sounds and the consonant sounds in each line, and mists among the rushes of the marsh.
Conghanath is almost as hard to pronounce as it is to employ in poetry. As Anne Stevenson said, it's a complex patterning of vowels and consonants and rhyme that's almost impossible to pull off in English. Gerard Manley Hopkins used it in some of his poems. Dylan Thomas as well.
I sang in my chains like the sea. That's pure conghanath.
Anne Stevenson says that she doesn't employ conghanath intentionally.
It just comes to me. It comes to me as the natural way of expressing. And then if I'm looking for a word, I say, well, what word is going to use that consonant again? How can I use that vowel? M's and L's are good. But too many, of course, makes it too romantic. So you have to be careful.
You can hear very strong echoes of conghanath in a poem of very carefully weighed words called,
this one is called Making Poetry. You have to inhabit poetry if you want to make it. And what's to inhabit? To be in the habit of. To wear words sitting in the plainest light, in the silk of morning, in the shoe of night. A feeling bare and frondish in surprising air, familiar, rare. And what's to make? To be and to become words passing weather, to serve a girl on terrible terms, embark on voyages over voices, evade the ego hill, the misery well, the siren hiss of published success, success, success. So why inhabit, make, inherit poetry? Oh, it's the shared comedy of the worst, blessed. The sound leading the hand. A word life running from mind to mind through the washed rooms of the simple senses. One of those haunted, undefendable, unpoetic crosses we have to find.
Anne Stevenson says that the ending of that poem about the crosses surprised even her when she wrote it.
But in fact, there are many crosses in my poems, not necessarily always in the Christian sense of the cross, but in the sense in which one is crossed in life continually, you know, crossed in love, or you come to a crossroads, or there's a cross between language and experience that a poet is always trying to get around, the sense of how can you actually find the point at which the experience and the language meet.
Welsh poetry is far from the only influence on Anne Stephenson in her efforts to find that point where words meet life. William Butler Yeats is another influence.
But I would say among Americans, certainly Frost. T.S. Eliot, I suddenly realized that when I was in university at Ann Arbor, we used to get drunk and chant the lines of the wasteland through the streets of Ann Arbor at night. And of course, Elizabeth Bishop, she taught me more than anyone. She taught me how to look, you know. If Yeats and Eliot and people like that taught me how to listen. I knew how to listen, but she taught me how to look.
The looking, the listening, and the Cunkenuth are all there in a poem set in Wales called The Wind, the Sun, and the Moon. Mulvra in this poem is the name of a mountain, and it means bald mountain.
For weeks, the wind has been talking to us, swearing, imploring, singing like a person. Not a person, more the noise a being might make, searching for a body and a name. The sun in its polished aurora rises late, then dazzles our eyes and days, pacing a bronze horizon to a mauve bed in the sea. Light kindles the hills, though in the long shadow of Mulvra, winter won't unshackle the dead house by the marsh. Putting these words on paper after sunset alters the length and asperity of night. By the fire, when the wind pauses, little is said. Every phrase we unfold stands upright. Outside, the visible cold, the therapy of moonlight.
Anne Stephenson, winner of the Neglected Master's Award, is the author of 14 collections of poetry. Look for her selected poems, which the Library of Congress will publish in the spring of 2008. You can find out more about Anne Stephenson on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also read from our archive of thousands of poems, feature articles, reading guides, and more than 80 previous podcasts. If you like this program, take a moment, if you would, and write a review of it on iTunes. It would help a lot. Do let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is...
The trouble with poetry is you have to read it slowly.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. Next week, we'll hear a sneak preview of the November issue of Poetry Magazine from the editors. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.